IVM.
You're listening to the podcast presented by the Daily Pow.
This is Purva.
And Amit.
And we are from a city-specific food and culture website called thedailypow.com. And this is our weekly podcast, The Podcast. Today we have an installment of the Bombay Binge for you, in which we're interviewing Pooja Pangte. She runs Meraki Bombay. It's a traveling pop-up kitchen, and they cook the food of the hills, Himalayan and adjoining hills to be specific. So stay tuned for Bombay Binge.
Bombay Binge. On today's episode, we should mention that Pranuti, our third partner, is not around. She's on holiday. And regular listeners would have known that Purva was on vacation too recently. And in fact, she was in the hills. And that sort of ties in nicely with our guest today. Purva, do you want to tell us where you had been?
Yeah, so I was in Uttarakhand, in Ramgarh, to be precise. And Pooja, our guest, I'll tell you how this conversation came up and why we thought it was the right time to invite her on our show. So when I was in Mukteshwar, this is the Kumaoni part of Uttarakhand, and I tried something called the bhang chutney. Now, it is not intoxicating. I know your imaginations are already working, but it was a very, very interesting condiment that I found in a thali.
But you mentioned something about marijuana seeds in...
Yeah, so it's bhang ki chutney, yeah, right? Yeah. So it's made with cannabis, so marijuana seeds, but it has no sort of, like I said, it's not intoxicating, but it's delicious. It has a nice umami, black sesame type flavor. And I'm crazy about chutneys and dips and sauces. So I put that up on Instagram, and Pooja responded almost immediately saying that, hey, I can, because I said that if anyone can make me this, they can have anything from me in return. And Pooja responded immediately saying that, look, I'm in the hills right now. She was foraging there at the time. And she said, I can make you bhang chutney. So this was the fantastic beginning to our conversation. And I just had a meal with Pooja in her Bombay home. So Pooja, welcome to the Bombay
Binge. Hey, everyone.
So tell us a little bit about how you came to making bhang ki chutney, a little bit about Meraki maybe to start with.
The word Meraki is a Greek word, and it basically means the soul or essence that you put into anything that you do. So for us, it was cooking, and we, after 29, 30 years of being on this planet, we kind of realized that that's our calling, and we were very happy to find that out. And Meraki started by me and Tei, my partner. She's from Meghalaya. And it started around a year back. And we were both working together in a bank and really tired of our jobs and bosses. And
are you still with this bank?
No, I don't. Thankfully. So we started. I still remember we would sit at Tei's desk and we would note down on recipes that we want to create for, you know, our first pop-up meal. Yeah. And that's where it started. And the first pop-up that we did was around July last year. And we were not very confident on our abilities because we'd been cooking for friends for a long time. And they kind of encouraged us to, you know, cook for other people as well in Bombay. And what we did is we rounded up a group of friends and friends of friends. And that was our first meal. We were cooking at 3 a.m. in the morning after a night out. And we were making actually Shillong style momos, which are these huge pork momos with... But you need to raise the dough a night before. So we couldn't sleep till we did that. So that's how it all started with the momos. But now I think we've come a long way. We've done pop-ups in three cities, in Pune, Delhi and Mumbai, and around 10 or 11 pop-ups. And we've also done a workshop in Goa, focusing on ingredients from Uttarakhand and Meghalaya, with Chef Manu at Serendipity Arts Festival.
Okay. So what exactly is Kumaoni cuisine, though? If you can give us a brief sort of introduction to what are the typical ingredients that, you know, or the kind of dishes that one would find.
Is it primarily veg also? Maybe highlight.
So if you look at a basic day-to-day Kumaoni meal, if you go to any Kumaoni house in any village, what you would be served is, you'd be served greens. You'd be served some form of lentils or pulses, rice, and some form of chutney and some fresh vegetables.
Bhang chutney is an everyday thing.
It is an everyday thing. And we've got different types of bhang chutneys as well. So, and on special occasions, when you eat meat, you would mostly eat fish, like freshwater fishes, You would have trouts or some smaller fishes that are there in cold waters, or you would have mutton. But now with the introduction of chicken and all in the hills, a lot of people have started eating that as well.
Yeah.
And so if you had asked me when I was just out of my house, what dal do you eat mostly at home? If you ask anybody, I think from many regions, they would say arhar or tuvar. But I wouldn't be able to answer you because my mom would make a different dal every day, a different bean or dal every day. So, and then we would have like combinations as well. And apart from just making the lentils and beans, we also focus a lot on the texture. So sometimes you would make a dal with the whole bean. Sometimes you would smash the beans. Sometimes you would crush them. Sometimes you would grind them. So there's kind of diversity in flavor. There's around like usual recipes, if you talk about, there's like around 150 recipes that a Kumaoni woman cooks and uses in day-to-day life. And then there are branching out variations in each of those as well.
And the greens that you mentioned, I mean, what are the greens mostly eaten?
So there are a lot of wild greens and then there are greens that we cultivate. So we've also met like a lot of botanists and done our homework and research to understand the cuisine better. And the last time I checked, there were around 94 varieties of wild edibles that Kumaoni and Garhwali people in Uttarakhand have. And I went to meet a botanist recently and he corrected me saying that the number is 335.
Okay. Oh, that's precise.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. At this point.
Yeah.
And then there are cultivated, because you have a wide range of agro climatic zones. So you have lower Himalayas, lower hills, then you have the middle range, then you have the alpine range. So different kind of produce and wild edibles in each of these ranges. And then each village grows something which is of the same species but different. An average farmer in Kumaon, for instance, can grow up to 40 to 50 species of plants in his small farm for his own usage in a year. So that's the kind of diversity we're looking at.
So, you know, what's really interesting at this meal that you served in your home is that you yourself forage, and you know, you served us fiddlehead ferns. Now I've heard Githika serves a fiddlehead in her meals, but this was the first time I actually saw the actual fern, and you had pickled them. So tell me a little bit about the foraging aspect about of your
and also like what are the things that we'll find on your menu typically out of these 335.
Hopefully, like, we would touch 100 soon. But yeah, so I mean, we've been for the past feast that we've done, we've used a lot of ingredients from Meghalaya as well as Uttarakhand and beyond. We've also ventured into Manipuri cuisine with our last pop-up. We tested out 8 to 10 recipes, 15 to 20 seasonal ingredients from Manipur through our friends and family, and then we kind of introduced, zeroed down on 2 recipes. So you would find obviously bhang, hemp. You would find perilla, which is also a very healthy condiment. Then you would find a wide variety of herbs, like we use Brahmi in Meghalaya. And then we have chameleon plant, which is a very interesting plant from Meghalaya. It's a vegetarian root of a plant, but it kind of, we make in Meghalaya, they had made a chutney with it, and it kind of tastes like fish. So you also so that's there.
That's why it's called the chameleon plant, because it changes flavors.
No, it stays the same. Then you have, like, from the northeast also, you have a wide variety of citrus. You have stinky beans, different types of beans, and then bamboo shoot, obviously.
You introduced us to the Kilmora berry.
So if you talk about Kumaon specifically or Uttarakhand, there's a lot of, in this season specifically, spring and summer, there's a lot of berries. So there is Kilmora, which is, the whole plant is used in folk medicine. So from, right from the bark to the fruit to the roots, everything is used for different purposes.
It tastes a bit like the karwanda, I thought.
So it has like sour, a little sweet, and bitter taste, all three in one.
Right.
It looks a little like oval blueberry, small oval blueberry.
Yeah.
And then we have this, my favorite berry from the hills is hisalu, which I used to pick when I was a kid. It's from the rose family, has a lot of thorns. I got, like, I still have a mark from one of the thorns. So it grows in bushes, and it's called Himalayan golden raspberry. That's very juicy, but the shelf life of these things is like one day. So if you keep it for more, so I took an ice box actually to the hills, and wherever I could buy slabs of ice, I would just stuff that for keeping my produce fresh. And then there is kaffal. Kaffal is a berry, but it grows on a tree. There's like a lot of folk stories and songs about these these ingredients also. And I think that's a very, very good way of passing on the culinary tradition from one generation to another by singing about it having stories about it, because then you don't forget about it.
So what are these songs? Like, do you want to sing us a
verse? No, I'm not going to sing. But I'll tell you the story. But I'll tell you the story. The stories are very simple. Like, you know how country songs are. It's kind of like that. So one song, which is like, Kumaunis and Garhwalis have this dispute that it's theirs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It would play in all the Kumaun and Garhwali weddings. So the song goes like, Bedu Pako Bar Masa, Kafal Pako Cheta Meri Chela. So it's basically a newlywed bride singing to her husband, saying that passion fruit, which is not considered really good in the Uttarakhand hills because they think it's not that nutritious. It grows, fruits across the year, but Kafal only fruits in Chet season. So she's then after that, she lingers on to different memories from her maika, and she says that, please take me to my mother's place.
Okay.
And then there's another tragic story, which I think
we stick to the happy one.
Stick to the happy one.
You know, the recipes, where are your recipes coming from?
So a lot of them are from families and relatives, but we also, the thing is that if you talk about my parents or Tei's parents, so, for instance, my parents stay in Dehradun and Tei's parents stay in Shillong. And it's kind of like the main towns in both our states. So, we would not be that much in sync with the ingredients of the hills in these two towns. Mm-hmm. But we still get a lot of produce. And they have kind of moved from their villages in the last generation. So, even with if we interact with them, we get a lot of knowledge, but it's not as much as if we would go to the actual villages and talk to the farmers who are growing the produce and talk to them. So we've tried doing that. And when you were talking about ferns, how to forage, we went on a foraging trail with the local, and he basically taught us the subtle differences between poisonous ferns and edible ferns, and when we should pick them. If they're this big, you shouldn't pick them. And if you get the mature ones, you need to boil them. And all those subtle things, it's better to... So that's what our plan is. Next year, we're planning to take a gap year and be in the hills for, say, 6 to 7 months in the seasons and kind of gain more knowledge from the locals who are living the life that, you know.
Okay. Hopefully, you will be doing that after some time so that you have enough opportunity to check out
your papa. We keep coming back to Bombay.
But, you know, so are there similarities between Kumaoni and Khasi food at all? I mean,
That's the most interesting thing. So when we started Meraki, how it started, a big part of that was the simplicity or the minimalism in the food across the hills. Mm-hmm. So whether you eat Manipuri, Khasi, Jaintia or Kumaoni food, the first thing that you'll notice is very, very simple. You try to focus on the main ingredient that you're cooking.
Okay.
You don't overpower it with a lot of masalas and stuff. So that's what... So they would cook sesame pork. I would cook my Kumaoni dal. And, you know, it would go really well together.
Yeah.
That's how Meraki came into being. And we want to showcase this minimal cuisine of the hills that is prevalent in India. Especially when... I was staying in Worli when I first moved to Bombay. And at that time, there was no Cafe Zoe or Bombay canteen, and you couldn't order in from nice places. So only things I would get is really bad Chinese or really bad multi-cuisine Indian food, oily and full of masalas.
Yeah.
That's how it all started. So there's a, and especially in ingredients also, because they're part of the same hill range, right? So central Himalayas and high Himalayas. So for example, alpine range, if you go, there'll be a lot of similarities in Sikkimese and alpine Uttarakhand food, and there are a lot of similarities between central Himalayas and lower ranges and Meghalaya food, because it's similar kind of climatic zone.
You know, Pooja, there's one interesting comment you made that day. You said that the hill folk are not particularly proud or confident about their food, and you're trying to sort of, you know, set
change
it up in a different way.
So you have recently been to Uttarakhand, so you would have noticed how difficult it is to find
local
cuisine.
Meal,
So in Uttarakhand, if you see, there are two places in Kumaon where a lot of like highway people and, you know, truck drivers or bus drivers go, and they want the food from their homes. So there are a few dhabas that you can experience food, local food at. But I feel that across the hills, people have this, they really love their food, but they feel that outsiders might not appreciate it as much. They see it as a weakness that the food is simple, but in fact we see it as a strength that the food is this simple. If after a meal you don't, even if you eat a lot, you don't feel really heavy and sick the next day, I think that means that you've had a good meal.
Yeah.
Bring them to Bandra and introduce them to a hipster and they'll change your mind. They'll change their mind. But you know, you were talking about like having two formats for your pop-ups, right? Like you have something called the all food foods. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
So because that you have an all food coming up in July, we should say. So you can attend one of Meraki's meals really soon. But let Pooja tell you more of that.
So all foods is basically the concept. So we've been doing community feasts. We call our pop-up meals feasts. So we've been doing community feasts. Like if you go to a Khasi wedding or if you go to a Kumaoni wedding, you would sit together and lay out the food and whoever wants to have whatever of how much. That was our usual format. But we've kind of branched out because some things go together well and all. So we've kind of branched into this alt foods kind of format of the feast, wherein we try to consciously focus on alternative ingredients from the hills, culinary practices and recipes and preservation techniques. So that's how it came into being, and pre-plated meals. And so I just wanted to mention this podcast that I listened to recently. It was by Simran Sethi. Simran Sethi was the guest on the podcast, and she mentioned this thing. She went to Walmart and she did this research, and she basically found out that Walmart has 150 varieties of yogurt. And all of them, 90% of them, use the milk from only one breed of cow. And you know, so the diversity in terms of the food that we eat, in the last century, we've lost 2.5 lakh varieties of plant species. You know that dodo is extinct now. Tigers are, you know, in endangered list, and pandas. But there's a lot of awareness about that. But nobody cares about if a plant species grows. There are currently 230 varieties of rajmas that are being grown by small farmers in the hills for their own usage. But nobody talks about that.
Yeah, I bought some Munsiyari rajma. You told me about it. It's a premier rajma.
So it just takes one whistle to cook.
So you're specific. I mean, these all food sort of meals, they specifically look at alternative or the lesser known
ingredients. And for example, instead of rice, we would serve you millets.
Okay.
You know, healthier options. Even if we are serving you rice, we would say since we for the next all foods we want to focus on food from Meghalaya. Tez made a list of recipes which are not very well known outside of Meghalaya. So for example, even if you're serving rice, we wouldn't serve the way we eat rice. We would serve putharo, which is basically made on a vessel. It's a steamed rice bread, and the vessel comes only from one particular village because that village's clay in the Jaintia Hills is what is used to make that vessel. So we want to highlight such unique things that are present in our hills. So that's where alt is basically for alternative, like, you know, those kind of practices and traditions that we have in the hills.
So how can we sign up for this pop-up?
So we are very active on Instagram and Facebook, and our handle on Instagram is Meraki Bombay, and same is on Facebook as well. And we also are available. If you want to be added to our guest list, you could just drop us a line at meraki.bombay@gmail.com. And we create events on Facebook, and we post our menus and details on Instagram as well.
Okay, so
the next one, the July one, will
July
be up
one,
soon. Great.
Okay, so thanks for being on our show, Pooja.
Thank you so much.
You know where you need to go if you want to try maybe bhang chutney at your...
Is that a regular part of your menu?
Yeah, it is. Actually, it is.
Or is it now?
Actually. No, it's always been.
It's always been there. Great. Thanks so much for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll be back next week.
For more on what's happening in the city, read thedailypow.com. Also, subscribe to our newsletter on the website. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're The Daily Pow. And you can find this podcast every Monday on the IVM podcast app or any other podcasting app that you prefer, and on thedailypow.com.